Hello and welcome to the A Quilting Life podcast. I'm Sherry McConnell from A Quilting Life.
And I'm Chelsea from Chelsea Stratton Designs.
And we're here today with podcast episode 109, airing on Monday, April 22nd, 2024. And it's a beautiful spring day. We're taping this with gorgeous spring weather, and we have some gorgeous spring quilts on the table that Chelsea's going to tell us all about. But first, I do want to mention our sponsor, Cozy Earth. We are grateful to have Cozy Earth as a sponsor for the A Quilting Life podcast. And we do love their products. We love their sheets. The products are made from viscose, from bamboo, and they have temperature regulating properties that make it wonderful to sleep, whether it's warm or cool. And we're moving into that warmer weather, and just have to say, I love my Cozy Earth sheets. I also have been browsing the website, and they have some beautiful new pajamas. And I also just replaced my tub of body butter that was one of Oprah's favorite things. And I really love it. It has a really light scent, so it's not overpowering, and you can wear it with something else, but you can't really smell it, but it's like fresh and clean. And it's just such a good body lotion. It's not greasy or overwhelming, but yet I feel like it also lasts a good amount of time.
That's what I always look for, as long as it's not greasy.
Yes. And don't forget that you can use the code AQUILTINGLIFE when you check out for 35% off site-wide. Okay, Chelsea's going to tell us about the quilts.
I am so excited. I have quilts to share. Okay, so I'm actually going to be spreading it out over the next few podcasts, but so excited. Lazy Daisy is on the wall, and you know me, I love flower quilts. I really wanted to do something fresh and fun with this one, and I think we just hit the right spot with this. So this is Fat Eighth Friendly. And obviously some yardage for those stems, but I love all of the color combos in this, and especially the orange border. I don't normally use like a print border, like a color border. And it doesn't have binding, but Mom is going to bind this one for me. So I'm going to say thank you in advance.
Yeah, I'm going to start on it tonight.
Yeah, you're amazing.
And I love, love, love the chunky leaves.
Yes.
And as you mentioned, I love the orange border. It's just, I just love this quilt. So
I also, my quilter, Marion, did the quilting on this, and I love it because it's really vintagey feeling because she did the crosshatch look on it, very kind of like a vintage, and she just always knows how to pick like the right design for it. And surprisingly, this one does go together really nicely. The pattern is really well done. So Lazy Daisy, Fat Eighth Friendly, with obviously some yardages, and one of my favorites. And actually, we'll be filming a video for this one.
Super cute.
And on the table, I'm actually sharing my Hearts at Home 2 again. Mom pieced this one for me in strawberry lemonade fabrics. The reason why is so many people have been asking me about this pattern recently, and I just wanted to share it again because I do love it so much. It's one of my like very favorite patterns, and Honey Bun Friendly.
Yeah.
And
saves a lot of time.
So much time. And Mom did a really, really great job on this one. Val did the quilting on this. I can tell.
Yes.
I can see all the cute designs she did. So Honey Bun Friendly with Hearts at Home 2. Just a favorite pattern of mine ever.
Yeah.
Okay, so now that you shared the quilts, we have some projects that were sent in by a listener. So I guess it's sort of part of the listener quilts, but we actually have more than just a picture to share. We have them here with us in the studio. So this is from Natalie. She sent these projects to us. I'm going to read the letter that she sent to us, and then I'll show them. I'll put them up on the camera. Enclosed are three pot holders for you that I have made. Please use these and enjoy them. I've been watching your podcast since the beginning. When strawberry lemonade was revealed, I knew I had to purchase some for a quilt and other projects. I love all the designs and colors. Ordered a half yard bundle, layer cake, and yardage for a quilt. I'd like to give a thank you shout out to Fat Quarter Shop, as the half yard bundle cuts were 19 inches. I really appreciate the extra inch. Sherry and Chelsea, you can decide Who Wants the Apron or Round Pot Holder sets. And as Billy got a hole in one last year, the golf set is for him. So I'll go ahead and show those right now. So she sent me this pot holder here, and it's all golf related fabric. And on the back there as well.
Perfect timing too.
Yes. I got a new place, so these are going to go right into the new.
That was so thoughtful.
Yeah. Yes. She said, I retired the end of December 2023. I'm looking forward to making many quilts for family and potholders for my new Etsy shop. I enjoy making potholders and consider them useful mini quilts for the kitchen. If you want to share these on the podcast, I would be honored, and of course we are. And she said, thank you for your great podcast, quilt patterns and fabric collections. I look forward to your podcasts and hearing the family stories. And that's from Natalie, a fan from Maine, she said. So go ahead and show the camera yours.
These are beautiful. There are two that are round. They have little hangers too.
And two that are aprons. I'm like obsessed.
Super cute. Chelsea and I actually are going to break up the sets so that we each have a round and we each have an apron. So we couldn't. Yeah, I think they'll be super cute because they're coordinating.
Well, what's so funny too is when we noticed that they were pot holders, we love pot holders. Yes. Like, you can never have enough pot holders in your house. And these, like, the attention to detail with the Rick Rack on them and the buttons. And I am obsessed. Very cute. I love them so much.
I love the way that the apron string is the tab too. Yeah.
Guys, this is just the cutest. So cute. And strawberry lemonade. Yeah, we couldn't decide, so we're going to take one of each because, you know.
They match. They match.
Yeah, they match.
They're so cute.
It's so cute.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Natalie. That was so nice of you.
And then I forgot to mention her Etsy shop is So Main Studio. I'll put it in the description as well, but So SEW.
Yay.
Main Studio. And she also put on her card here, there's So Main Studio on Facebook. So looks like, you know, like she said, she just retired. She's opened up a new shop there on Etsy and making these pot holders and maybe some other things as well. So if you're interested in those, you can go to her Etsy shop and check out what she has available. But from what we can see here, highly recommend.
Quality is top notch.
Very well made.
Like, seriously, the attention to detail. Very cute.
Okay, so for our listener quilts, before we get into the new ones, I have to make one correction about our last episode. Do you remember the little mini charm pillow we shared?
Yes.
Okay. And I said it was from George. Okay. I email everyone when we share their quilts and let them know, you know, thank you for sharing. And so I got an email back from that person, and it was actually from Teresa. She was using a email that was her and her husband share. Her husband is George. So it was actually Teresa that made that little pillow.
That happens a lot to me. In fact, just this morning I got an email from Norman, but then I realized, oh, it's his wife who's emailing me. So
and to think we were giving you all the credit, George.
Yes.
But it was funny because she said she was laughing really hard when I gave him credit over that. So she mailed me back, said, thank you for sharing it. That was actually me, not my husband. But
why do I think this is so funny? George is like, yes.
I know. So, like, the quilt on the wall was done by Mason, not.
Right. Oh my goodness. That'll be the day.
Yeah.
That will be the day.
Okay. So, now to some new ones. The first one I'm going to share here is one of Chelsea's Miss Magnolia quilt patterns.
And it's beautiful. I love the navy sashing. It's like totally different.
Yeah. It really sets makes those blocks stand out.
Yeah. It's really pretty.
And she didn't have really much to say other than she just wanted to share it with us and said, love the podcast, share away. Oh, and this is from Carol.
Thank you, Carol. And it is really, really cute. Love the colors.
And then the next one here is, it's a few different projects that are related to mom's quilt patterns here. And so the first one here, this is from Trisha. She said, first, I want to thank you for getting me through the pandemic. I discovered your podcast at the beginning of the pandemic and have enjoyed it immensely. When I couldn't be my quilting bee, I could tune into your podcast and watch and feel like I was with a bee. Second, I wanted to share three projects I've done so far of your designs. You'll recognize the heart quilt for breast cancer. My mother passed away from breast cancer, and this is a beautiful quilt to think of her. The block of the month on the table was done in winter colors to complement my snowman tree skirt. I love the pattern and wanted the colors icy. She said, I am a retired Air Force officer, and when I was a second lieutenant, I found this chicken feed sack in a antique store in Omaha, Nebraska. Being originally from Alabama, I scooped it up for a dollar and carried it around for 22 years. After I retired, I started quilting and would look at this feed sack wondering what to do. Then when you came out with your churn dash block of the month, I knew what I was going to do. I added some blocks to make it fit, and it hangs in my kitchen and makes me happy. So as you can see around there, it was really small when I showed you. It should be bigger on the big screen here. But she took all your block of the month blocks and surrounded the quilt with it.
Yeah, I thought that was a great use for those.
She said, thanks for all you do for the quilting community. I was just at a quilt show and purchased Botanical Remix. You're up next, Chelsea. It's gorgeous. And then she also said, P.S. Billy, I was a communications officer in the Air Force, and you're doing a fantastic job. So I appreciate you saying that, because sometimes I don't think I am. So, and that again is from Tricia. So thank you for sharing all those projects of my mom's there. And like she said, Chelsea, it looks like she's going to do yours next.
Oh my goodness. Thank you so much. And Tricia, we can be quilt bee friends all you want. I like it. I want to be your bee.
Okay. And so with that, I just wanted to mention our last episode. We talked about sharing quilting with others, right? And keeping the joy alive in your own quilting lives. And so there, if you do go, we're only filming this a day after that came out. But if you already, I'm sure by now, by the time this episode is released, there will be even more comments added on there. So it was really neat just to go through, and people were sharing how they were introduced to quilting. You know, whether it was through church, whether it was through family members, whether it was from friends. And then other people gave some good ideas about how to share quilting with others. I'm just going to share just a couple here. One person mentioned, though, you could set up like a craft day in your garage, you know, and sort of like a garage sale, put some signs up and just sort of invite people like, hey, I'm going to be doing some things in my garage on this Saturday.
I love that idea.
I thought that was really fun. You know, people go garage sale shopping on Saturdays and everything. Maybe someone would stop by and look for something or just get interested.
Yeah,
you know?
That's such a good idea.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, and it's just, I don't know. There's a lot of, that was probably the most unique one. I thought that was really cool. But a ton of people, were just talking about how they got into it. So a lot of people mentioned YouTube over the pandemic, you know, people doing it online, living in very small communities where that's really the only connection they can get to other people that enjoy the same things they do. So yeah, it is a good read to go through and look at everything. So, and we also did hit 100,000 subscribers.
I forgot. I thought we should have mentioned that earlier. I'm so glad you mentioned it.
Well, it's just funny because we mentioned it last podcast and we hit it just right before that podcast released. And a lot of people commented like, oh, I think it hit today. And
I think it was April 4th.
It was just right around that time. So I'm glad we did mention it then, but it is official. And thank you. A lot of people are saying congratulations for that.
Oh my goodness. Yeah,
thank you. It was a fun milestone.
Yeah. Well, I knew we had hit it. So it was like just really funny how you were like, hey, yeah, we hit 100, but we had already texted about it. But you're right. That episode came out.
Yes.
It was sort of like the official. Yeah. It really matched up well because it was sort of when it was probably, you could see it on the screen for most people. So
100K.
That's exciting. Crazy. And I'm usually not a big numbers person about how many, but that was kind of one that I was really,
really
looking forward to. Yeah.
It's good to have some milestones to reach for and everything. Yes. So that I'm excited too. And like we talked about the plaque, I think we are going to put it up here.
Yes.
Okay.
Right next to Billy.
It's all said and done. Okay. Well, with that, I think we can move on with, again, all the quilts behind me and on the ladders will be linked in the description below also if anyone has any questions about what those are. But we will move on to today's topic. And today we're going to talk about sewing machines, or they're going to talk about sewing machines because I don't know anything about sewing machines. But we are going to talk about a few different things. So, and the reason this got brought up, or I thought about it, is because my mom did recently get a new sewing machine. And what, it's your first sewing machine in how many years, Mom?
Over 10, probably. Yeah. And it's my first Bernina. So. Okay. Yeah.
So we're going to, first I wanted my mom and sister to talk about advice they would give for someone who's either purchasing a sewing machine, perhaps for the first time, or just looking for a new sewing machine. And I thought we could put it into three different categories, three different tiers. So first one, obviously being a budget friendly machine. So something that, you know, the cheapest one that you could get, but something that's still good that will be useful for you. Then we could go to more of a middle tier. And then the third tier would be if money is not an issue. So I put, if you just won the Powerball, when we're filming this, it still hasn't hit. So say you just won it today and you're like, yep, I'm getting a new sewing machine. And
if you won the
I don't care how much it costs. I want top of the line. And you guys could just talk about some of the different features that come with those things.
Yeah. I have to share a story to lead into this. I sort of feel guilty about this, but my husband got me in my Janome that was my previous machine. Well, I still have it. I still use it. Anyway, he got me this Janome for Christmas one year, totally surprised me. And I really wanted my two daughters to each have a sewing machine. So I had an older Janome at the time. And then I also had a Janome travel machine. Well, I really never thought Chelsea would sew. And so I had this nicer Janome that I gave to my older daughter who I thought would sew. And then for Chelsea, I thought, well, I'll just go buy her a new one, but it'll just be like a less expensive model Janome, a travel type model. So Chelsea did get the new machine, but the lesser model, because I never thought she would sew. And just goes to show you, sometimes moms are wrong, because my older daughter has never once used that other machine. It just is sitting in a box. And Chelsea started sewing and sewing and sewing. And then I was just like, oh, dang, I kind of got it wrong there. But oh, well, if Candace ever does sew, or if one of her daughters ever sews, she has a good machine for them. And Chelsea has since graduated to a better machine. So sewing machines are important. And like Billy said, there are budget-friendly machines. And really for quilting, those are fine.
Yeah.
You sewed on that little Janome for several years.
Yeah.
And if you can sew an accurate quarter-inch seam and a nice straight stitch, you really don't need a pricey model. But there are features that make the other models better. So.
See, I love the symmetry of it all. I can appreciate that Mom was, you know, we're going to get Chelsea this travel size machine. And then I'm like, bam, I'm quilting now. But it was. I loved it. It was the Janome Gold.
Yeah.
And you want to know what? That thing could sew a zigzag. It could.
Yeah.
Could sew a chevron stitch.
It had some other stitches.
I mean, let's not, you know.
And it is great for travel.
It's great for travel.
Yes. So and now you have a travel machine too.
Now I have a travel. I think it has a wrong cord though. I need a new cord, but I gotta take it to get looked at. It had some. Anyways, my daughter will be using that one, but I made a lot of quilts on that machine and it was a great machine. And this is where my advice would come in, is all you need is a machine that sews a straight stitch. That's all. You don't need anything crazy. And honestly, I would have been overwhelmed with the possibilities of a more unique machine, I think, because I just was like, I got to sew in a straight line. It's got to be a quarter inch and it's got to be perfect.
Yeah.
So I loved that machine and I thought it was great. So if you are a beginner, I think that's where you start out. Now, I do want to go into the continuation of this story, because I do have a Juki And forever, even people from Moda like Tammy and everyone was like, oh, you got to get a Juki because A, it's powerful. And B, it's just perfect quarter inch. Just if you want to run this quilt through, you need a powerful machine.
And I actually found it for you.
You did. So our friend. Mom, yeah. Okay. I'll tell it. My mom, you were with Vanessa.
Yeah.
And Vanessa had gotten this Juki for her daughter, and her daughter tried it and just wasn't in love. And I was in the market for a new machine, and Vanessa called me and was like, I just talked to your mom and we think you should get this machine. And it was the easiest little, you know, deal ever.
Yeah, it was perfect because I was up there. I was able to bring it home. You paid her.
Yeah.
And Vanessa had a Bernina already, and she said, I love my Bernina.
She loves her Bernina.
I'm not going to use the Juki. So. Yeah,
it was just going to sit there, and I was in the market for one. And I got to tell you, I am like sold on the Juki because I used to make fun of my mom. I've shared this story before. Her sewing room was next to my bedroom, and she would just all night long and so annoying. And now my kids and my husband make fun of me because I am just like crazy. And it's really funny because the kids are like, oh, mom sounds like she's mad because she's really revving it up in there. But no, it's a great machine, and it doesn't even do a ton of crazy stuff. It doesn't have a computer on it. It's just a good machine, and it's fast and gets the job done.
Yes.
So would that be part of a budget?
Yes.
Like so what price range would you estimate for like a budget machine? Like is $100?
Whoa.
Is that too low or is it?
That's too low.
I think you can get a budget friendly machine for $250 to $300. Yeah. I think those Janome Golds are in that price range.
They're not even crazy.
Yeah, and I know there are other brands, too, that I'm not as familiar with, but the reason I loved the small Janome was because I had a bigger Janome and I could interchange the feet, and so my travel machine was a Janome Gem Platinum, and then I had my Memory Craft 6600P was my main machine for a while, and I could just interchange everything.
I feel like budget-friendly, something like the Janome Gold is it.
Yeah.
I think my Juki, I still didn't think it was, mine was slightly used, obviously. I think it's closer to middle tier just because I think it is a great machine, but that's my opinion.
Right. And I don't know what they retail for now, those Jukis, if they're up closer to 1,000 or.
Yeah, I'm kind of tempted to look it up right now. I'll wait.
Yeah. So some other brands I see, like Singer still makes machines, and
Brother.
Uh-huh. So I've seen some of those on the like budget friendly lists.
And Pfaff. A lot of people like their Pfaff machines. Okay.
But essentially the range would be, you think, more like 200 to 300 at the low end.
I think for a nice, good basic machine.
Yeah.
So, because if you go any less than that, you think you're probably losing some features that you would definitely want to have as basic features.
Yeah, or maybe it's durability. Just that the parts, the durability aspect.
Oh, yeah. I hear you.
But, okay.
Yeah.
Also, take care of your machines. Get them cleaned. I need to get mine cleaned so badly, but I'm terrified that he is going to be the guy we go to. Is going to be like, this is awful, Chelsea. Awful.
Yeah, you should probably take it in.
Oh, I'm scared.
It's been a while.
I'm so scared.
Okay, so then, well, maybe we could talk about traveling machines real quick, since would that be in the budget tier as well, something that you travel with? Like, sometimes, what makes a good traveling machine? It has to be portable, obviously.
Yeah, just, I mean, really either finding a case or finding a machine that comes with a case that's easy to travel with. But for a traveling machine, you don't want it to be super heavy in case you have to lift it, or you want it lighter weight and maybe smaller, because if you're attending a class or a retreat, you might not have all the space in the world to spread out. So
there's like tons of people in the class.
Yes. So I feel like it's good to have a small to medium sized machine that's not too hard to travel with. Although I have taught classes and people have brought in very, very nice, big, large machines, and they have a tote travel case to carry it in. And so they're not having to lift it, except for when they lift it out of the case.
Yeah.
But yeah, for me, generally, I like to have just a smaller, easier to get around machine.
I mean, guys, we gotta be taking our machines with us almost.
I know. I'm almost thinking of taking it on my next vacation because
you need to relax.
But then I thought, no, I have all these books I want to read too. So,
and I want you to buy my quilt.
Yes. But I could talk a little bit about the machine that I just got.
Okay. Well, would that be more Powerball, like of a middle tier, or is that more?
I think it's still a middle tier. It's at the top end of a middle tier.
Okay.
I got a good deal on it because it was a floor model. In fact, every machine I've ever purchased for myself has been a floor model. The one that my husband got me 10 years ago wasn't, but it was a floor model. So I think I saved around $1,000. So I think it retailed around $2,700 and I got it for $1,700.
Oh, wow.
So and I don't know, maybe that's just a good price for that machine too. Maybe they typically do discount them that much. I don't know. So might not have been a spectacular,
as good of a deal as you
were
hoping.
Right. Yeah. But it's a good machine. It's a Bernina Quilters Edition 475. And I really honestly, it first caught my eye because of the color. It's a beautiful aqua color. And
of course,
I thought it would look super cute in my sewing room. But my thought was also that my Janome is getting older. It has a lot of miles on it. And I just almost feel like I can hear the motor even when it's first cleaned. I just feel like it's made hundreds of quilts. And so I just kind of thought, I've always wanted to kind of venture out into the Bernina world and try a Bernina. So I thought by getting this kind of middle tier Bernina that I could try it out and see if I really bought into the whole Bernina thing that everyone says. And then also, it's not so big that it couldn't be a travel machine as well.
Yeah.
And it came with
That about it.
Yeah.
It's a great size.
Yes. And it came with a great travel case, came with it. And so that was kind of my whole thought process. This is how I'm going to try Bernina, because there are much pricier Berninas out there too.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. This is like a personal relationship. You like are with a sewing machine for so long. I almost want to go put googly eyes on mine.
Yes.
I do have to talk about Mom's machine, because I walk in the house and she had it down on the kitchen counter to start the kitchen table. It's on the kitchen table and I see the aqua color. And my first thought was, okay, this woman initially wanted this because of this color, but I knew it was I knew Bernina, I knew she would love it. And I fell in love with it. I thought it was amazing. I think my issue right now moving to a machine like that is I am so like traditional. I've never had a machine with like a computer-y anything on it. And so my brain was like, this thing could do 1,000 things and I would know nothing about it. And Mom was like, I can do this and this and I can adjust this. And I'm thinking, I just want to press the gas pedal and go. But I'm really excited for you because you seem to like it a lot. And it's so cute. So cute.
Yeah, I do love it a lot. It has the jumbo Bernina bobbin, which you can sew forever with this bobbin. I love it. It has some great features that I'm really loving, and yeah, I'm super happy that I got it.
Yeah. I will say this though, if I had just won the Powerball and was looking for a new machine, that thing better have a TV and like some Wi-Fi on it, you know, so I can listen to all my stuff or watch all my stuff while I'm sewing.
Well, I don't think they make those.
Well, maybe I'll make it. Okay.
Mine does have, it is computerized. It has a touch screen. And
yeah, I noticed that.
You can watch tutorials right on the screen of the machine. And
oh, it teaches you itself?
It has some really great features. But when I took my class at the Bernina store where I purchased it, there were, I think, 7 of us in the class. And 3 of us had my model, and then the other 4 people had different models. And a couple of the women had the really big Cadillac models. But
oh, wow. There's one like a them, different model too.
Oh, there's big. Oh. But one of them, wow. She specifically bought her machine because she sews a lot of clothing and she wanted a good buttonhole option. And it was so cool. You put the button up to the touch screen and then the machine automatically senses what size to sew the buttonhole.
What?
It was crazy. I was just really impressed. I thought, wow, all those years when I was sewing clothing of putting the button in the little contraption and trying to size the button and sewing practice buttonholes and making then opening them up, seeing if the button really would fit. This was just a great option. So there are some pricey, great machines
out
there.
Does it tell you good morning too?
Oh, mine tells me good morning because I programmed the message that I wanted it to say when I turn it on. So that was kind of fun.
Good morning, Sherry. I hope you have a wonderful day.
It actually says it's going to be a great day. So
I'm making t-shirts. It's going to be a great day.
Yes.
Oh my goodness. That is so funny.
So those other ones you mentioned, are those sort of the ones you'd splurge on? You said the
Cadillac? Yeah, would you get a Cadillac?
Is that what it's called? It's actually called a Cadillac?
No, okay, I was just using that terminology. Okay. Yes.
Like a Cadillac?
That's sort of funny.
Yeah, no, but I don't feel like I need all those. A lot of those more expensive Berninas do a lot of embroidery and decorative. And in fact, there are people that use the Bernina embroidery machines to actually do quilting on their smaller projects and even bigger projects. But I just don't feel like I need all those stitches. I just need I just need a good quality machine that does a straight stitch.
Yeah. Straight stitch.
But yeah, I do love some of the features. I love that I can program it to do certain things and it will remember that.
Yeah.
The needle down feature, my other machines had that, but this remembers it. So even after I turn it off and turn it back on, it still knows that that's what I want it
things
to do.
Things are just getting too smart.
So, yes.
Okay. So now can you talk a little bit about the overall technology that you've seen change over the years? So I know when you first started using a sewing machine, Mom, you were using it for clothes and everything. And I'm guessing that your mom or grandma gave you one of their older sewing machines. So what's the difference between sewing machines back then and how they've developed and into what they are now?
Yeah, I don't even know what happened to my first sewing machine. My first sewing machine was a Singer when I was 10, and it had been one of my mom's older machines. She got a new one and gave me her older one. And I had that machine for quite a while, but then when I got married, my mom got me a new Singer sewing machine, and I had that from the 80s all the way up till about 96 or so when I bought my first Janome. So I had that one for more than 10 years, that Singer, and then I got the Janome, and it could do more, and then I got the newer Janome after that, but yeah, the one that I have now is my first touchscreen computerized.
Yeah.
My old Janome was, in a sense, a computer, too. It had all the different stitches that you could just push a button for. But
so you've, seen it all.
Yes.
Well, let's crazy. Go back to the 80s. So what features did that machine have?
Yeah, what did it do?
It had a lot of features and several stitches, but you had to manually
Do everything,
yes. So you would, just no computer.
There was no computer?
No computer.
So it's just like a knob you had to turn and it would set it to a different type of stitch?
Right.
Okay.
Yes. So 10-year-old Sherry, if she had a machine like today, you would be like, whoa!
Well, and even your 10-year-old one, when you were 10, did that have any different settings as well?
Oh, there are, I feel like those machines, there were zigzag stitches of different widths, and I could do a buttonhole on that also. It was just all manual.
Okay.
Have to say this, though. You weren't really quilting at that age.
No.
You were there. It was sewing clothing. Okay. Yes. So that's obvious. Yeah. We need to note that. But even when you were starting to quilt, these machines are very different
definitely.
From what you had.
Yes.
Oh, man.
But, you know, when I teach classes, a lot of the women show up with those old Singer featherweights. They do.
I've seen that.
Yes, they sew a beautiful stitch, and all you need is a straight stitch. And a lot of women have either purchased or have one and meticulously cared for them, and they are beautiful to sew on.
Yeah.
And they don't have any bells and whistles.
Yeah, no.
Well, and so that's another question I had is how important is it for you? I mean, you have a learning curve right now, I'm sure, using your new machine. Or can you go to a brand new machine and be confident that you're going to do everything you need to do? Or do you think that learning curve, it takes a while before you're going to feel confident in what you need to do?
Yeah, I really appreciated the Bernina shop. It was called the Bernina Boot Camp. And they give you a full day class for free when you buy a machine. And like I mentioned, there were seven of us in the class that day, and most of us had different machines. And so the teacher did a really good job about explaining what this is how you do it on your machine. This is how you do it on your machine. Some of the things were the same, but it really did. Did I really need that class? Probably no, but I did it anyway. It was actually really relaxing for me just to sit there and take a class.
Yeah.
And
not
be teaching and not be home on my computer that day. So it was actually really relaxing. And I feel like she showed all the different things that the machine will do. And my machine will do a lot of things for clothing and other things too. It has a lot of great features, but it was really good just to kind of get immersed and just sit there and fill the bobbins and put the bobbin in. But actually the first time I went to change the bobbin, I did have to look up a video for what to do.
Hey,
you know,
I'm glad you shared that, because Mom was teaching a class one time and I went with you, and it was a machine. It was a totally different brand, one I hadn't used before. And do you remember I said, I don't know how to do the bobbin on this. And I remember someone turned around, was like, you don't know how to do the bobbin? And I'm like, okay, but it's different. It's not my machine. And it was in a totally different place. And the way you did it was totally different.
Right.
And I kind of felt dumb. So this is like making me feel better that, and I remember thinking, I just want to go back to my machine.
Yeah.
But no, they're all different. Like, there is something new you have to learn about each machine, and that's okay. And I think I would rather ask questions than sit there and not know what I'm doing or be stuck because I was too afraid to ask a question. So I feel like if you are going to go buy a new machine, you want to learn how to use that machine.
Yes. And thankfully, there are lots of videos online.
Yeah. YouTube.
In fact, once when I was at Fat Quarter Shop doing some videos, Kimberly, there was something that we hadn't really planned on. And I told Kimberly, well, I can make that in my hotel room tonight. So she sent me back to the hotel with a machine. And it was a machine I'd never used before. I think it was a Pfaff. And I just can't remember what it was. But anyway, right after I started sewing, I jammed something and had to do the bobbin, and I'm sitting in this hotel room. I'm like, what am I going to do? Oh, get on YouTube. Found it, redid the bobbin.
Fixes all your problems.
Threaded the machine, finished up my little sewing that I had to do. So, yeah.
Look how resourceful you are.
So what about accessories to a sewing machine? Is there anything if someone was going to go buy a brand new sewing machine, be like, you should also buy this with it?
I have a few things that are really random. Okay. They're in like a Fat Quarter Shop box. It's like the thing that is the magnet. I think you always, here's the deal. You need scissors near you always.
Yes.
There's so many things that can attach to your machine that are helpful. This is just, if you're really talking accessories. And then I love the little thread, little bin that I have right next to my sewing machine right over there.
Yeah.
That same one.
A thread catcher.
Yeah, a thread catcher. I always have that next to my sewing machine. You always have like buddies to your sewing machine.
I think a thread stand is nice, so you can use the big cones.
We have our thread stands.
And we have.
From Modern American.
Yes.
Vintage.
We've got to talk to him about when
You're listening, we need to reach
out to him and find out.
We need to talk to you. I love mine because I have the bigger spool of thread for forever. Yes. I was using a small spool. There is nothing more annoying than your bobbin running out of thread.
One year, mom gifted me like a whole tin of already threaded bobbins. And I was like, ah, yes. I love you. And yeah, thread stand. And now I have the bigger one.
Oh,
and I just feel so powerful.
Yeah. It's nice to have a thread stand so you can use those big cones.
Yeah.
That's an accessory I would recommend getting. So, and then just also maybe some little things to clean your machine. Just a little, they're kind of like Q-tips, only they have little tiny wire tips that you can use to get to clean the lint out. Yes.
Yeah, I really need to. Oh man, guys, I gotta clean my machine. It's so bad. I'm terrified. So scared. Yeah, so I think as far as accessories, that's, I mean, snacks, guys. I'm kidding.
Love that.
Is there any like needles or anything extra ones you should get? Like, how long do they last for?
Okay, this is a topic for debate, and I started switching out my needles way more often. I actually should go home. I just finished a quilt last night. I'm going to switch it out again.
I actually need to switch the needle on my new machine. Yes.
I noticed a huge difference.
A lot of people switch it with every quilt.
With every quilt.
Yes.
And I'm doing every two.
Yeah.
But I, when you buy needles, they basically come in like bulk. I mean, there's, I mean.
Yeah. And they don't cost very much.
They don't
switch
cost
them
very
out.
Much.
And it does make a huge difference.
Do you want to know why? I had heard that before and we'd actually talked about it on the podcast. I was scrolling through Instagram actually, and somebody showed, they put it under like an actual like scientific microscope.
Oh.
They showed the needle is not sharp anymore after you quilt, and that you can see broken off pieces and bit under a microscope you can. And I thought, well, that's not right. I need to switch out my needle. And I did. I went and switched out my needle and I need to go home and do it again.
Yeah. And there is also the sharp needle. There's a you know, classification of the needle as a sharp that is really good for quilting because they are more micro, thin and sharp, and they will do better for your quilting.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
No, any footers that, like, how many footers come with the sewing machine when you...
Oh, the different feet?
Feet, yeah. Sorry.
Yeah, usually the basic feet will come with your machine. My new Bernina, there are a couple that I wanted to buy a quarter inch foot.
Yeah.
And there's
I don't have a quarter inch foot.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I use diagonal seam tape, but I probably should get a quarter inch foot. It'd probably make my life like way easier.
I think that there is one for the Juki.
Really? Actually, yes, there is, because Camille has talked about it.
Yes.
Well, there you go. Now,
I gotta go buy it.
But yeah, for just regular quilting, you don't really need anything other than a quarter inch foot. Unless you're going to be quilting, then you will need a walking foot or a free motion foot, depending on what kind of quilting you're doing.
That's why I have a quilter. I so many people do. There are people that love it, and I am just like, not for me.
Yeah.
Maybe in 20 years.
Okay. So last question for you, Mom, then. So are you happy with your new machine overall? And do you think that your learning curve is done? Is like, you all good with it?
I'm pretty good with it. I do still kind of look at a couple videos for a couple things when I'm doing something a little different, but I've been sewing. I just finished a quilt the other day with it. So I've made two quilts on it so far. So
happy with it.
Yeah, really happy with it. Love the stitch. The stitch is beautiful. Love the jumbo bobbin. I think I might someday upgrade just to get more throat space, which is the space between the needle and the right side of the machine, because this one is a little bit smaller. It would make a great travel machine, but maybe someday for my home machine, I'll get one with the extra space.
Yeah.
So, and that's something we really didn't talk about earlier, but that is a nice feature to have that extra throat. They call it throat space.
And I just have to say, I don't like a ton of change. So I'm like really happy with my Juki right now. And I actually don't see me changing for a while. And nothing that I need. So, I mean, honestly, the type of personality I am, if something ever happened to it, I'd probably buy the same exact one. I really would. That just seems like something I would do.
That makes me think too. It was really hard for me to make the plunge because I love my machine, but part of my brain was like, this machine is not going to last you forever.
Yeah.
You've got to do it at some point. But I'm super excited because we moved some furniture around in my house and I'm actually going to be able to have both machines in my sewing room, which will be great if anyone ever comes over and sews with me. I have an extra machine. So, but also because I don't have the walking foot or the free motion foot yet for my Bernina, but I have those for my Janome. So I'm going to kind of keep that set up to quilt small projects.
Yeah.
So I can just, you know, leave it in the sewing machine ready to quilt those little projects.
Can I come over and sew?
Sure.
What? Oh, I love it. I'm really yeah. glad we did this one.
Yeah.
At first I was kind of like, we're going to talk about sewing machines. Why are we doing that? Billy, you did a good job. Okay. So our next podcast episode is going to be airing Monday, April 29th. And it is actually the listener questions podcast episode. We don't have a ton of those during the year. So when we get them, we really appreciate having the questions and we're excited to dive into them all with you.
Yes. Thanks so much for stopping by.